Okay, dear dumb friends, so we have come to the last question and answer session in this Kalaragoda English medium retreat. So we have some written questions, so I ask to begin with the written questions. Yeah.
Theruvan Saranai, Samin Mahansar, altogether there are 12 questions.
Okay.
9 questions on meditation, 2 on Dhamma, and 1 general.
Yes.
May I start with the meditation questions?
Yes.
Venerable Swami Mahansa, sitting meditation. When I focus on the feeling of air touching the inner nose wall, my mind tries to visualize it. Then I see different kinds of images and lights, while the distractions also entering as thoughts. Then I give up changing the posture or shifting to walking meditation. May I know from Swami Mahansa, how should I proceed to overcome these issues?
Yeah, so basically, these visualizations, you don't need to mentally create any kind of an image purposefully. It is not expected. You can directly connect with the feeling. So that is much better rather than mentally creating any kind of a image of what you perceive. So if it is automatically coming, that doesn't matter. Say for example, you are keeping your attention at the nostril and you feel it. You feel now the air is going through. Now you feel that air is touching. So that you have a feeling. Actually, this feeling always connected with some kind of a sign, some kind of a perception as well. But don't add any kind of mentally created, you have purposefully created any image to that. So you don't need to. But if you perceive, like, say, for example, you might feel like it's kind of a thread going in and then thread going out. So this might be a perception you have. Automatically, you may have such perception, just as an example. Or maybe kind of a little creature going in and then going out. Likewise, there are different perceptions can be there automatically coming. That doesn't matter. But if you are not supposed to create your own image purposefully, so that is not necessary. So as much as possible, keep the experience very simple, to the point, and what is that experience only providing. You don't need to additionally add anything. And so these perceptions also can change. So sometimes you feel one way, another time you might feel another way. On the same day or maybe after 1 month or something like that, even the perception can change. So you don't have to have any fixed idea. It is always I have to feel like this, always I have to perceive like this. There is no such thing. So everything is changing. And on the other hand, say when your breath becomes very subtler, if there are some typical images coming, say for example, you are visualizing certain, say, Buddha images, pagoda images, Bodhi trees and deities or whatever those things, so just discard them. So those are unnecessary, and actually based on the yogi, the character of the yogi, different types of images can happen, and for some yogis, nothing can happen. So don't expect that everyone to see all these things. Certain yogis never see these kind of things. If in case you see these kind of some typical different images, just discard them. So that is the wrong path to go after them. So you simply have to discard them and just be with the breath. Yes.
This is from the same yogi on working meditation. This is very relaxing compared to the sitting meditation. I can feel the roughness and warmer or coldness of the sand. Further, when it comes to the observation of keeping a step, the chance for coming outside thoughts reduces. However, I get a shoulder pain after 30 or 40 minutes walk. Is this pain due to incorrect posture, or is it a normal situation for everyone? I keep my arms together to front or back. I kindly expect an answer from Swami Mahansa.
Yeah, it is not a frequent thing that typically not most yogis are experiencing such thing. As you have guessed, It could be the something wrong in the posture, the way you keep your hands. You might maybe making some kind of a strain at the shoulders. So it can be cause when you are keeping that kind of a strain throughout, then it can cause this kind of a pain. So just have a relax. I mean, let don't raise the shoulders. Rather, you keep them down. Keep them down, and the arms may be little, then coming to some little lower. And maybe you can keep them on the back side, and then again arms are little lower, so that the shoulders doesn't have any kind of a strain build up, any kind of a tension build up. So I think that might helps you. So definitely something wrong with the posture. And again, we are continuing one by one. If you need any clarification, please feel free to ask. Yeah.
Venerable Bhante, during walking meditation, we concentrate on the left foot and right foot, and sometimes may feel different sensations. Dhatu guna. Soon afterwards, when we sit down for anapanasati, our primary object is the breath. Isn't the change of object a question, a distraction for the yogi to attain mindfulness? Theruvan saranai, may you attain nibbana.
Not at all. Actually, the mindfulness does not mean every time to have the same object. So mindfulness has different aspects. So being with one object is actually one type of meditation, particularly on the say tranquility based meditation. There you are supposed to maintain the same object. But on the other hand, the mindfulness is possible to maintain with various objects, constantly changing object. The same object may be changing, or you are constantly changing the object as well. Say, for example, as you have mentioned, say, while walking, you are keeping your attention on the soles or the feet. And then once you sit, so you are keeping your attention on the breath. But the mindfulness is there. Say, even while walking, your object is changing, because right foot is different from left foot. Left foot is different from right foot. And again, the position is entirely different. And you are walking, the place constantly changing, so the entire experience is changing. But you are having unbroken mindfulness. Unbroken mindfulness is there, but what you getting mindful change. It doesn't matter. I mean, nothing wrong. So that is actually the challenge you have in the walking meditation, where the object is constantly changing, the place is changing, and that gives the kind of a ability for the yogi, how I can, even while among these different changes, how I can direct my mind, how I can aim my mind to the place where I need. Yes.
Venerable Bhante, in breath meditation, when everything is still, my mind is creating visual images of people and incidents I know nothing of. How do I handle this?
Yeah, that's what in the beginning also I have mentioned. So depending on the characters of people, different tendencies in them, so these things can happen, but don't encourage them. So if you are going after them, thinking that, I mean, I have to go after them, or they are quite interesting, those are important. So like that, if you are thinking, then you are going in a wrong path. So rather, so you allow them to just be and come back to the breath. So more and more you pay your attention to breath, slowly, those images will slowly disappear, start to blur, and then simply disappear. So actually there are some yogis actually get misled, because this visualization is one side. Say, for example, you see some past parent or some old person or something, then you might interpret as this: I have seen my passed away mother, your passed away father, my grandmother, she wants to tell me something, she is now giving me a message, divine message. So you are going on an entirely different path. So now they are going to become a fortune teller. So these things are there actually in the society, such things are available. And again, sometimes even people can hear sounds. That's another perception. You know, the Buddha explained six types of perception. This image, what you call the visual perceptions related to the eye. And actually what you are seeing actually being stored, and then they are manifested as mental images. So that is one type of perception. Similarly, when you hear something, you get a perception with that hearing, the sound. And that also is there. Say you are, sometimes you are smelling something, it also has perception. We are tasting something, it also has perception. Going through some sensations, the tactile sensations, that also has perception. So there are many perception varieties available. Among them, many things can happen. So that's why, so there are certain pitfalls available in the meditation path. So we have to recognize them. We have to be careful of them, not to fall into them. Even if you fall, please come back. Get out of it immediately, don't stay there longer. So otherwise you'll be entirely in a wrong path. Because Buddha is taking us in a path where all these different perceptions are ultimately going away. So your mind becomes more clearer and clearer. So there are no hallucinations, there are no illusions, no magics. Simply going through the simple mindfulness, you are constantly developing the awareness, you are constantly developing the clarity of the mind. So this is the path. Yes.
Most Reverend Bante, some meditation teachers advise to do Buddhanusati for a while and then Metta meditation for a while and then get into Anapanasati meditation. Is this to build up concentration?
Yeah. So actually, it helps actually. So it depends on the mindset. Say for example, your mind is fairly agitated at this moment. Say you went through some hard day, you had some clashes with your office mates or the colleagues or whatever, and you are coming back home, and if you simply sit, so mostly the sitting might be not successful. So because a lot of tension being built up. So better one option is, rather than sitting, you go for a walking meditation and simply do a very relaxed walking, and then you can dissipate all unnecessary those tensions and then come back and sit. Then mostly the sitting may be successful. On the other hand, this is one option, and I think mostly this works. And even after sitting, probably even if your mind is with some resentment, you can do little metta, it helps. Because you are now, whoever is troubling you, you can, if purposefully, you can spread some metta, and then you can go to Anapanasati, and it doesn't matter. Similarly, suppose your mind does not have much energy, feels like dry, feels like depressed, then Buddhanusati also helps to again build up faith and some kind of tranquility, some kind of happiness, that also helps. Suppose all these necessary qualities are already available with you, then you can directly go to Anapanasati. Say for example, you are in Kalalgoda, no problem. Say you are constantly on walking and sitting, so no big troubles in the mind. So mind is in a quiet situation, in a tranquil situation. So after immediately coming to sitting, you can immediately go to Anapanasati. Because Anapanasati is taking you in a long path, not Buddhanusati and Metta, because they have some limited scope. And Buddha says, there are several anusati bhavana, 10 anusati bhavana, Buddha anusati, Dhamma anusati, Sangha anusati, Upasama anusati, Chaga anusati, Deva anusati, like that. There are 10 varieties are there. So all these are samatha techniques to calm you down, so to make you a little happy. So those are actually interesting and useful. But they have a limited scope. That's what you need to understand. Similarly, metta has limited scope, and it depends on the conventional reality. Say you are spreading metta towards people, living beings, to your parents or your teachers or all other beings. So that perceptions of beings are there in the mind. But in the Satipatthana side, so we are more into the reality side, where we are trying to understand what this person is called, what this man, woman is called, what this being is called. So we are going a little deeper way to how to recognize, and as we discussed during the last Dhamma sermons, so Buddha is giving some deeper wisdom-based teachings, that what we call as this person, man, woman, being, all are nothing but six elements, maybe nothing but six sense bases. So likewise, there are some deeper ways that Buddha is analyzing this whole experience, and that is what we are trying to touch through Satipatthana meditation, mindfulness-based meditation. So that is little, in a way, more advanced, and rather than being in the conventional side. But at the beginning, it appears like the opposite. Say, for example, if when you are doing Buddha Anusati, when you are doing Metta, it appears like fairly strong. But when you do, say, mindfulness-based meditation, say you are simply keeping your attention on breath, simply keeping your attention on rising and falling, simply keeping your attention on the sensations while you are walking, it appears very extremely simple. When you compare two sides, so this side, the samatha side, appears like more powerful, and this like very primitive. So that is where we have to have a lot of convincing why this is more important. So all these things, what we take as beings, man, woman, teachers, parents, and all these things are based on the conventional reality. Yeah, those are the names that we give. And we have to penetrate that, we have to go beyond that in order to touch the element level, in order to touch the khandas, in order to touch the, say, sense basis. So that we have to go through in a carefully Buddha's teaching. So that's why he is going to very simple way that he is taking us to the more profound understandings. Yes.
The second part. Please explain the most simplest way to protect my mind and keep in one pointness.
So various techniques are there. So that is, it is not just one technique. So Buddha explained 14 techniques itself related to the body. So if you refer Satipatthana Sutta, Kayanupassana section, there are 14 techniques available. In Vedanupassana, another one. Chittanupassana, another one. Dhammanupassana, another 5. So different techniques are available. So you have to try first mostly on the Kayanupassana level. So just try to be with yourself. Just try to be particularly with your body. How your body behaves. When you are standing, just know that you are standing. When you are sitting, just be aware that you are sitting. When you are walking, just be aware that now the body is walking. When the body is lying down, just aware now the body is lying down. So it is simple as that. Gacchanto va gacchanto mhiti pajanati. Nisinno va nisinno mhiti pajanati. Sayano va sayano mhiti pajanati. Likewise, Buddha explains, each and every posture can be used as an anchoring point for the mind. But it is so simple, so sometimes our complicated minds can't appreciate it. So that we, therefore we need to go a little beyond that, a little more complicated situation, like you are sort of catching a ongoing process in the body, say like breathing. So it's a kind of a natural process going on in the body, and this process being used to anchor the mind, this process being used to develop the mindfulness, so that also helps you to come back to the present moment, to build up mindfulness. So all these techniques are available. So you can try, actually, first of all, just being mindful about the posture, and while being mindful about the posture, what you really feel. At the beginning, you might feel certain, say, sensations, the gross ones. Later, probably you might feel this breathing and these different other minor sensations. So that will be a passage or pathway for you to further refine your mindfulness. So I think practically you have to do it and then find out your own sort of path. Yes.
Venerable Bhante, we had several questions on light yesterday. Once my mind was filled with a brilliant white light, far brighter than the sun. There was a diamond shape in the center which I didn't go through because I had heard that the path to enlightenment was not through jhana. I switched to the Mahasi Sayadaw method of vipassana practice. Did I make the correct decision? I think that both methods have helped me on my path.
Yeah, I think the last statement is quite true. I mean, if you think that jhanas are not necessary, utterly not useful, that's also taking a kind of extreme. If you think that, say, jhanas are must, that's another extreme. So I mean, if your mind is growing in the tranquility side, say you can maintain your attention on a particular object, so you can experience that as well. So developing fair amount of concentration is a necessary fact. So certain people have this ability. So when they are concentrating, mind is developing in the jhana side. So they are getting a, say, brighter light, and they can absorb to that and be with there in for a long time. So fair amount of concentration is building up. But the only problem is don't be there for a long time, in the sense that don't keep that as the objective of your meditation. This is a kind of a temporary, that you are going for a rest house, going for a, say, food stall to have some good dinner. So after that, you have to go for the journey. So don't stay having dinner for every time. So you have to walk the path. So get energized and then come back and walk the path. So, but ultimately, so you have to, say, be in the vipassana side in order to develop a fair amount of wisdom side. And one problem I found is that when you are going in the samatha side, say jhanas and all, so you are getting the concentration as the upper hand, not the mindfulness as the upper hand. What I'm trying to tell is the priority is given more into the concentration, not to the mindfulness, not to the sati. Rather, samadhi is given the upper hand, not the sati. Typically, in the vipassana approach, the priority is, or the emphasis given for the mindfulness, not for the concentration. So there's a kind of a shift happening. Suppose you are now in a fair amount of high concentration. You are in, say, absorptions and all these things. No, nothing to worry. No problem. Now, slowly, you can use, specially walking meditation, how to build up mindfulness. So you already have a fair amount of concentration now. While walking, constantly allow the object to change. At one time, you are looking at left foot. Another time, you are looking at right foot. One time, you are looking at right foot. Another time, you are looking at left foot. Likewise, the object constantly now changing, already build up samadhi now helps you. Because now, unlike other yogis, your mind may not wander, your mind may not distract, rather it may stay with this particular object constantly. When you are looking at left foot, it may stay there. When you are looking at right foot, it may stay there, because you have already available concentration. And after coming back to sitting, so don't just stay in the samadhi, rather simply say, for example, if you are practice anapanasati, just see how this breath is changing. Rather than constantly looking at it, just see how it is changing. What are the differences between in-breath and out-breath? Or else, if you feel certain sensations throughout the body, you can find whatever prominent sensation and keep your attention there and see what is this sensation. Is it a constant object? Its intensity is constant, or is it appearing slowly and then changing and then disappearing? Is it a kind of one unit or kind of a bundle of sensations? So likewise, you have to go little bit of analysis, not through sort of thinking, but rather through observation. When you have a very refined mindfulness, say like a laser beam, that you can very accurately observe the phenomena, and you might see it's like a bundle, that the different sensations are available as a bundle. Or maybe if you are looking at pain, there are little pains are available, each and every one arising and passing away, each and every one arising and passing away. So, and the intensity also changes. So likewise, all these changes, all these details, you have to look. Then you are now using your concentration into the vipassana approach. So therefore, if you already have built up concentration, it is a blessing, and you have to use that to further develop wisdom.
Yes. Venerable Chandaratna Thero, could you please tell us something about your meditative path so as to motivate us further? Thank you, and may the Noble Triple Gem bless you.
So when I look back, my practice and what Buddha is telling, if these two are telling each other, well, matching each other, so I can confidently go through. I can confidently tell another one to follow. Because you yourself can testify that. Say, for example, you don't need to believe me as a kind of a, in a blind way, rather you yourself can test it. So that's why I am taking, say, for example, Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. So each and every point that Buddha has mentioned, you yourself can test, you yourself can verify. Each and every point that Buddha has mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta, you yourself can verify. But because Buddha didn't expect any kind of blind faith. So everything you can, we actually can test. We actually can put it into practice and see whether Buddha has mentioned the truth. That's why even, say, for example, some yogis are used to see things and they sort of, mentally verberate the terms anicca, 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 dukkha, 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 anatta, 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 like that. They are trying to condition the mind. That is not expected. Buddha didn't ask us to condition the mind as this is impermanent, this is suffering, this is non-self. It is not expected. Rather, once you have a fair amount of concentration build up, use based on that concentration, use that concentration to observe present phenomena. Your body becomes a kind of a laboratory for you. So it is presenting you various phenomena, ongoing phenomena in this very moment. So now you are observing that in a very consistent manner. Say feelings are arising and you are observing that. What's really going on with the feelings? Say thoughts are arising, you are observing them. So what's really going on there? Say different element characteristics are available and you are experiencing them, you are observing them and checking what is really going on. It's really a kind of scientific approach. And more you observe without preconditioning. So that is most important. You have to have a very open mind. There may be different techniques you might have followed to build up concentration. Doesn't matter. Once the concentration is available, so there from that point onwards, you have to have a very open mind, kind of a clear mind. Again, very quiet mind, not something you are trying to brainwash yourself. Rather, you are trying to observe what is really going on with very quiet openness. And then, you don't even think that mind is getting kind of an education. Say, for example, if you have a kid and you are simply using... you are holding his or her hand and you are simply walking here and there and all these things. And that kid is looking at various things and he is gathering a lot of knowledge through that. You don't need even to teach. Sometimes kids are very sensitive through their intuition. They are gathering a lot of knowledge. So similarly here also. So through mindfulness, we are keeping aside all the defilements and keeping the mind at the present moment. And in the concentration, we are making it very precise, very concentrated, well-aimed. And these qualities help us the mind to get more strengthened, more educated, and develop wisdom. And it happens as a background process. So all these techniques are working at the front level, but in the background, wisdom is developed in the mind, in the very internal. So this actually does a significant change. That's why Buddha says, when someone has real wisdom, so this detachment is a natural process. So if you don't need to pump it from outside, you don't need to forcefully detach anything, you don't need to forcefully create any kind of dispassion. Rather, if you really have seen the process, if you have seen what is really going on, then the dispassion has to arise as a natural fact. If you refer, there's a very beautiful sutta in Anguttara Nikaya, 10th Nipata, called Chetana Karaniya Sutta. There Buddha says, when someone has, sila, morality, unwavering mind, is a natural fact. That's called avipatisara. Avipatisara means that you don't have any kind of wavering in the mind. You are not going to this side or that side. You don't have any kind of hesitation because the sila, the morality, is given you some confidence that I haven't done anything wrong. So there is no kind of any accusations coming from your own. And so you are confident. Then you have some strong kind of a stable mind and then you can continue. So therefore Buddha says, So Ayupattisara is a natural fact of having proper sila. So similarly, he is telling, if someone has proper samadhi, concentration, having understanding of the phenomena, see things as they truly are, is a natural fact. So you have to use the concentration in order to see things as they truly are. It is ongoing process. Say you are using it constantly, you are applying concentration and observing phenomena. This observation takes you a long path. And after that, Buddha says, when someone has seen things as they truly are, dispassion is a natural fact. Disenchantment is a natural fact. So this is a kind of a cause and effect relationship. So it's a very beautiful process, actually, Buddha is telling. So when you are going in this path, so you yourself feel it. You yourself have to feel it. It is not that someone else is coming and giving you a certificate. Rather, you yourself understand where you are. So that ongoing process, you can testify, you can check, you can witness what is really going on. So if you believe that, if you trust this path, you yourself have to practice and then you can test it. Yeah.
This is the seventh question on meditation. Venerable Bhante, when I do the sitting meditation, the in and out breath is very prominent, but after a few minutes, it disappears. I mean, I don't feel the breath. I feel only my chest moves up and down, that too, very slightly. Is it normal? This occurred for about a month ago. Please advise.
Yeah, it is quite normal. So, object is constantly refining, becoming subtler and subtler. So, don't do any forced breathing or try to make it gross. Rather, allow it to become subtler and subtler. So, your observation become more refined, very precise. And in a way, your mindfulness also has to be very refined, very precise, and very soft, very gentle. Then only you are continuing. So, change in the object or refining the object, becoming it subtler, is a natural effect.
The second part of the question, walking meditation is okay, but after a little while my knees start to pain, then I sit and do anapanasati.
More you walk, much better. Yes, aviddha paya dahaswati.
Venerable Bhante, I was very happy to come to Kalalgoda and listen to you once more. So I practice mindfulness diligently throughout the day. As I entered the premises, my entire body was covered in a prickly feeling. On the walking path, I could only experience this feeling and the soles of my feet touching the ground, not my breath nor my body. I realize that feeling is separate from self. This feeling lasted throughout the day and was reduced to my face only. When I fell asleep that night, my mind was calm and happy. Is this what is known as Priti Sukha?
Actually, Priti Sukha can arise in different ways. Say, for example, if you are practicing tranquility meditation, there also Priti Sukha arise. Say you are just being with the breath and even kind of a light can appear and you are just with the light and say your mind is not distracting at all, rather just being with the object, being with the breath or being with the light. And there also the Priti Sukha can arise. I mean, it's not a must to arise, but can arise. And again, at a deeper level, say you become kind of one with the light and you are simply being there, and again Priti Sukha can arise. And Priti Sukha has varieties. Actually, in Visuddhi Magga, it is mentioned 5 varieties. Kuddhika Priti, where momentarily rupture can come. Then Kanika Piti, instantly this overwhelming happiness, overwhelming rupture can come. then paranapiti, where you feel the entire body being kind of massaging, kind of waves going on like that, different kind of things are there. So likewise, different varieties are available. On the other hand, sukha is not exactly that. Sukha is something that you feel comfortable. You feel that, say for example, you are traveling in a desert and you are extremely thirsty, and once you feel once you found an oasis, a lot of water, and you bath yourself and drink enough water, and now you feel happy. That is sukha. Then now you are utterly contented. So that is sukha. So that actually also is available in both sides. Not only in the tranquility side, even in the vipassana side. The beauty is that Buddha is telling, suppose you are in the vipassana side and you are seeing something is arising and passing away constantly. Say, you are observing certain pain or feeling and it is constantly arising and passing away. Suppose you, as this yogi has mentioned, you forget about the entire world. You forget about who you are and you can't remember where you are looking at. Whether you started like you are looking at the knee, now you can't remember what it is, where you are looking at, but you are fully focused on this arising and passing away. So that is the approach actually you have to take. You don't need to carry all this information that I am at Kalalgota, I am so and so, my name is this, I am now doing Anapanasati, I am now doing Dhatu Manasikara, now I am observing this and that. All information you forget. And now you keep very simple mind and simply observing this arising and passing away of this feeling. More and more very precise, more and more very light-minded. And now Buddha is telling, if one is seeing this arising and passing away, kind of an inhuman type of rapture can arise. So it is beautifully mentioned in Dhammapada, Amanusi rati hoti passato udayabhyam. So Buddha is telling, so when someone is seeing this arising and passing away nature in front of his very eyes, kind of a rupture can arise even there. So therefore, it's a kind of a beautiful path. So more you are enjoying it, you feel very light, you feel very relaxed, you feel joyful. And again, the mind is, say, less distracted and less defiled. So these are something that you can enjoy in the path. Yes.
This is the last question on meditation. Yesterday, Reverend Bhante, yesterday you mentioned to observe sensations. While doing the sitting meditation, I was able to observe feelings like the wind, the coldness, as they arise and disappear. I was able to be with sounds and smells as well. However, when I tried to be with pain, it seems to be arising more often and staying longer. For example, I tell myself there is pain in my back and let the pain be, and I observe the start, middle and ending. But if I concentrate on the pain as it arises, it seems to go away quickly and does not come often.
So I didn't really understand the question. So as far as I can understand, if you have a preconceived idea thinking, okay, based on the observation, the pain has to disappear, then it's a wrong idea. Because we can't expect as such. Because pain has its own agenda. Pain has its own causes to sustain. So it is not just we looking at it causes to disappear. And we don't need to expect even that. We are looking at pain in order to observe, in order to understand what is really going on. So when availability is pain, in that respect, maybe a blessing. Because pain is available for you to do the experiment. And now we are looking at pain, what's really going on, how it is arising, how it is changing, and how it is disappearing, and how it arises in another place. So likewise, you have a kind of an inquiring mind, very inquisitive mind to see what is really going on. You are in a searching kind of an attitude. That is where Buddha says the Dhamma vichaya is building up. So if you refer Anapanasati Sutta, there Buddha explains how the bojjhangas are developing. So there Buddha is telling tan dhammam paññāya pavicchinati pavicharati parivimansaṃ āpajjati. Dhammaviche sambajjangam, like that Buddha is explaining. So that particular, now there's an ongoing process, and that ongoing process you are carefully with an inquiring mind, searching attitude, you are observing. Tan dhammam paññāya pavicchinati pavicharati parivimansaṃ āpajjati. Now you are doing little investigation here. Then the dhammaviche develops. So this is how you are developing the qualities. So you don't need to expect it to disappear. If it is disappearing by itself, doesn't matter. Yes.
Most respected Reverend Bante, this is not a question. My humble request for an explanation, if time permits. In meditation, I am not clear about vitakka and vichara. Could you please explain about these two conditions? Bohoma pin.
Yes. Vitakka and vichara are mental qualities. So where vitakka is the applied mind and vichara is the sustained mind. Say for example, now this is the object that you want to pay your attention. Now suppose your attention is somewhere else. You are looking at here, but you now, suppose you want to look at here. Now you are taking your attention and bringing that attention here. So this is called vitakka. You are applying your mind to this particular object. Now this is vitakka. Once you applied the mind, now you have to observe. You are now sustaining it on the object. So it is called vichara. Now you are keeping your attention here for some time. Then you are getting more detail of that. So that is called vichara. So these are certain mental factors very useful in meditation. So say for example, anapanasati. So you are keeping your attention at the nostril. Then in-breath is happening. Now you are applying that attention, your mind to this beginning of the in-breath. And you are maintaining it throughout the process. So the entire beginning period, you are maintaining it. So the vitakka and vichara are present there. Yes.
Reverend Sir, what is the difference between Satya and Satisampajanya?
Yeah.
What is the connecting relationship of Vijnana between Chuti and Pratisandhi?
So we'll go by one. So Satya and Satisampajanya. Satya is the basic mindfulness where you are developing the present moment awareness. So typically our mind is either in the past or the future. Now we are trying to bring it to the present moment, and now we are observing it. So more and more we are keeping it in the present moment and making some kind of an observation. So we are developing mindfulness. Sati is there. But as you develop, so mind now get used to it. Now mind does not distract much to past or the future. Now you get the opportunity to carefully observe what is going on. Now this careful observation leads to make more understanding about the what is on your hand. Say for example, you have some object in your hand, and if you want to observe that, if you want to make a kind of an experiment, so you need to properly hold it and then observe. More and more you observe, more and more detail you can extract. More and more detail you can understand. And that is Satisampajanya. Sampajanya means clear comprehension. Yeah, now you clearly, very precisely are seeing various aspects of this particular object. So that is called Sampajanya. It is more into the wisdom side. So once you establish mindfulness strongly on that particular object, now you are closely observing it, this investigating it. So that leads to the Sampajanya. So what's the other one?
Is there anything?
No, something asked about consciousness and chuti and patisandhi, right? Yes.
What is?
What
is the connecting relationship of vijnana between chuti and pratisandhi?
Yeah, that's what there is a beautiful sutta called Bija Sutta. So there, Buddha is giving an analogy between the rebirth and this typical planting. Say for example, in planting, Say you, if you have a seed, and if you simply keep it on a, say, very dry place, say on a stone, will it get planted? It may not get planted. And you, if you are planting it on a ground, very fertilized ground, fertile ground, then it may plant. And similarly, it needs fair amount of water, moisture, and all these things also necessary for it to grant, for it to plant. Now, if you understand that analogy, Buddha is taking the same analogy to the ongoing process in the beings. So Buddha says, the seed is like the consciousness. Similarly, the ground is like the kamma. Moisture or water is like the tanha. Craving. Tanha sineho. So when you have all these three present, then the cycle is ongoing. So you have the kamma, it is given the field, it is very fertilized, enough vipakas are available. And on the other hand, you have consciousness available, so you want to live again and again, so consciousness is there, and again, enough cravings there. So all the conditions are satisfied, so the rebirth happens. So the approach Buddha is taking is to overcome this tanha, to eradicate tanha. So once no tanha is available, so the consciousness ceases. So no rebirth. Yes.
This is the last question. Dear Most Revenable Bhante, this is a general question not related to meditation. It is often said that the anisansa from offering attapirikara is different to the two genders, male and females. Is this true? If so, how? With metta.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I didn't think of like that. So gender difference for attapirikara, I don't think so. I don't know. Anyway, that's all, no? So that's all the written questions. If you have any thing to ask, that's you can have some few more minutes. Otherwise, we can wind up the retreat. Okay, then we'll conclude the retreat. So we all have spent, most of you spent all 3 days, more than 3 days here, and observing higher sila, and participating to this retreat, and you did your best in protecting sila and again practicing meditation. So through this way you are able to develop mindfulness, wisdom, concentration, and again you have participated to Dhamma discussions as well as listened to Dhamma sermons, and again some of you have involved in the various other duties as well, serving Sangha. So likewise we all were able to gather a lot of merits. So we'll share these merits all with the past level relatives, and again the all the beings who are in need of merits, and again with all the celestial beings. So there's a small that also tells the same thing, that the devotee who has offered today's dana also wish the same thing, that for the yogis and to me, that may they are all good aspirations come true. So similarly, we will wish that all these merits that we have accumulated so far help us to understand Buddha's teaching and to penetrate the suffering and to be free from suffering. While keeping all these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavatha ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu sasanang. ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මම් පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා සාදු සාදු සාදු. So in order to observe ajiva attamaka sila, may you recite namo tassa 3 times. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi ධම්මං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි සංඝං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි ဒုတိယံපි බුද්ධං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි ဒုတိယံපි ධම්මං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි ဒုတိယံපි සංඝං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි තතියම්පි බුද්ධං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි තතියම්පි ධම්මං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි තතියම්පි සංඝං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි සරණාගමනං සම්පූර්ණං පාණාතිපාතා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි අදින්නාදානා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි කාමේසු මිච්ඡාචාරා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි මුසාවාදා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි පිසුනා වාචා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි පරුසා වාචා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි සම්පප්පලාපා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි මිච්ඡා ආජීවා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි තිසරණේන සද්ධින් ආජීව අට්ඨමක සීලං ධම්මං සාදුකං සුරක්ෂිතං කତ୍වා අප්පමාදේන සම්පාදේ තබ්බං